Welcome back in to the Dafts on Draft podcast. And I say that for the first time in 1 year. As some of you know, April of last year, I found out my wife was pregnant with our second kid. That's with a child who was 1 year old and 3 months at the time. So I found my time disappearing. I found my energy disappearing around May of last year, June of last year. And so I put the pod on a halt, but now my daughter's 6 months old. My son is almost 2.5. So, they both have a consistent bedtime and I'm finding myself having time and energy again. I didn't get to do a draft guide this year for the first time in 3 years. You know, the Dafts on Draft podcast came to a halt. The content that I love doing, which is NFL draft content, kind of got put on pause, but I'm back. I'm happy to be back. We're going to be putting out consistent content here. I'm hoping to have Devin on at least once a week. Him and our good friend Alex Katzen just launched a new Substack. It's called Two Gap. It's great. Make sure you check that out. But I would love to have those guys be a part of this journey at some point and bring Devin back on with frequency, as frequently as Devin wants to be on. I have some great off-season content planned already. Coming right out of the gate, I have a scouting series planned. So really what the purpose of this podcast, what my Substack, what I want to do is just make those who listen, who read, who watch, understand that draft content is accessible for everybody, that if they want to do that, it is accessible. I'll tell my story of how I got in here. I don't have a football background outside of playing high school football. Like, that's as far as mine goes. But we're going to start with a scouting series where I've got some really awesome guests lined up. I'm very excited about it. I've already recorded four of these segments with these guests, but we're going to go position by position: quarterback, wide receiver, running back, the whole three, all through every position, with the guest who I think does a good job of specializing in that position and breaking down the basics. You know, so when you are watching tape, when you are just watching broadcast with your family on Sundays or Saturdays, like, oh yeah, that's what that wide receiver is doing. Or, oh yeah, that's really good burst from that running back, you know? So, like, we're going to talk about, you know, quarterbacks. What is arm talent? When can arm accuracy be, what context can change what is considered accurate or not? What to look for in footwork, things like that in terms of quarterback. And I have a really good guest for that episode. And I'm really excited about the series. I'm hoping it spans, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, gives me some time to watch some of these 2025 NFL draft guys before jumping on a podcast and talking about them. Because one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to just talk about a player I've never watched before, right? So I'm not going to lie and say that I've already watched 50 guys. I haven't. So as I record these scouting series and as I release these scouting series, that gives me time to build up a pretty good database of these players that I'm watching, right? So very excited about that. Tune in. That's going to start on Friday with the first episode being on quarterbacks. I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled with the way the series is turning out. Thrilled with the guests I landed. So stay tuned for that. But again, I thought a good purpose of this episode, the relaunch, starting again at ground level, might as well treat it like episode 1.1, right? The first overall episode, again, is to convey that if this is something that you want to do, you have a hobby, a passion, whatever for, an interest in, that it's accessible for you. It was accessible for me. I'm not going to pretend like I didn't have to learn a whole lot. I didn't jump into a million DMs. I didn't watch a million coaches clinics, things like that, but it's accessible. And there's no risk to it. There's absolutely no risk to doing draft content, right? So this is something you want to do, do it. For me, this is going way down memory lane. I graduated from undergrad in 2015 with a degree I no longer use, never used, to be honest. And I graduated in 2015 from my undergrad, and I was like, I don't know what I want to do. So what did I do? I went and got a master's degree, prolonged myself, right? Go back to school for 3 more years, got a master's degree I don't use, right? It's a research degree. And I don't use it. I am a program director for the YMCA of Central Ohio right now, running a homelessness and housing program for 18 to 24 year old transition age youth. Like that's my day job. That's my day job. It's not in football. It's not in whatever I got my degrees in. Right. So, but what I can remember about my time in grad school, I was commuting to the University of Dayton from Columbus twice a week. Right. And I would sit in class and I was in my last semester and I would literally sit on my laptop the entire time. And I would read Bleacher Report about the NFL draft. I would have Excel open and I can remember it was the 2017 NFL draft at that point. Right. So I remember having Excel open and mapping out mock drafts and scenarios of what could happen in 2017. I also cover the Browns and I've been a Browns fan my whole life. So that's the year they had 3 first round picks. And it was like, oh, what are they going to do? You know, it's the year they traded for Brock Osweiler and got a second round pick to take on that salary dump. So I was just really intrigued by everything NFL draft, about the talent they could get. Right. And I can remember I had my own apartment at that point. I was only engaged. I wasn't married. So I had my own apartment and can remember just popping on YouTube, YouTube videos and watching Mitch Trubisky and Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Kaiser and trying to chart out like, oh, who has the best arm? And that's really how it started for me. Like that's literally what piqued my interest. Because I was a Browns fan and they had 3 first round picks and I knew they were probably taking a quarterback at some point. They took Deshaun Kaiser in the second round, right, at that point. And they took Baker Mayfield first overall the year after that. But that's how it started for me. That's how it started for me. That piqued my interest. And then I've fallen in love with it ever since. As soon as I graduated college, I started writing for FanSided about the Browns. I wanted to start writing in the realm of sports. Again, never used my degree. I was working full time at the YMCA while I was in grad school and I've never stopped. So I don't use my degree. I was too far into it to realize I don't want to do this. So I just finished it and graduated. But my degree was used brainstorming football stuff, right? My entire attention was on the draft that last semester of college, of grad school. I'm sorry, of grad school. So And FanSided is a foot in the door. I don't know if you know this, but FanSided, as long as you submit a writing sample, they'll hire you. That's all it takes, is just to submit a writing sample when you apply. So that's a really good place to get your foot in the door. You know, FanSided has its reputations as a, you know, click farm, whatever, blah, 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 blah. But for people like me, it was a starting place. If there's anybody out there who wants a starting place, it's a starting place, right? And ever since, I just haven't turned back. I've been covering sports. You know, I wrote for FanSided for a while, ran their draft site for a while. Right now, I'm the managing editor of BrownsWire, and I'm doing draft content for Sports Illustrated Fan Nation. So I'm really excited to be in those sectors and those opportunities as well. But it didn't start. Like, I didn't go to journalism school. I wasn't a GA in college and on the football team. Like, I didn't play college football. My high school experience is I started at wide receiver the last 3 games of my junior year and the first 5 games of my senior year before I got benched and I was the holder. Like, that's what I did in high school football. I think I have 3 career high school catches for like 20 some yards and a first down. Like, those are my numbers in high school. I'm not some, you know, I haven't been around football. I played football my whole life. And I've always watched football and loved watching football, but it wasn't until I was 24, 25 that I really got into knowing what I wanted to do, in the realm of football, really 25. I was 25. So, I got a late start. I'm only 31. I've turned 32 here in a week or so, week from today, by the time this episode releases, whatever. But that's what it is. You know, it doesn't matter how early you start. It doesn't matter how much education you had in the realm of football when you started. Like, I don't remember a play from my high school playbook. Why would I, right? Why would I? But there are so many resources out there. There are so many people who are willing to answer a question if you DM them. There are so many coaches clinics on YouTube. There, you can find playbooks online. Like, you can learn this stuff without having to be around a team, without being a GA, without being an NFL scout. Like, you can build a resource. And now I can say that I have consulted for NFL agents. I can say that I have been credentialed at the past two NFL combines. And I can say that I trust my eye when I'm watching a player, like, enough to have a knowledgeable conversation with another colleague in the realm of the NFL draft and scouting without feeling intimidated, without feeling like I don't know as much as them. Like, I trust my eye as much as a Dane Brugler trusts his eye, as much as a Jordan Reed trusts his eye. Like, these are guys that I've had conversations with, but they're also guys that I've jumped in their DMs and I've asked them questions, and they've been willing to help me out. So again, this episode isn't going to be, I'm not going to talk about prospects. I might drop a few names of some players that I've really liked at the end of this episode, but I just want you to know that, like, if NFL draft content is what you want to do, like, do it. And again, like, you can be wrong on a prospect, but who cares? There's no risk to it. What happens if you're wrong on a prospect? Are you losing a job? All right, no. The NFL GMs and scouts lose their jobs all the time. NFL and GM scouts miss picks all the time. You'd be really shocked to hear some numbers of just how few draft picks hit in the NFL. There's risk for them, and their hit rate isn't great. There's no risk for me. There's no risk for Dane Brugler. There's no risk for Jordan Reed. There's no risk for Trevor Sikkema at PFF. There's no risk for you. There's no risk for me if we like a player on tape that doesn't turn out to be anything in the NFL. Who cares? Take a risk. Even if you have a player that you really like, stand on the table for him. Pound the table for him. I've been right on some players that other people didn't see it with, and I've been wrong on some players that I saw it with that I like. Why don't other people see it? It happens. Who cares? Who cares? What's the risk? What's the risk? I loved Sky Moore coming out of Western Michigan, and he has not been the player I thought he would be for the Chiefs. I loved Alex Wright coming out of UAB, and he is developing into the defensive end that I thought he could be with the Cleveland Browns. Like, be authentic. Don't conform. If you see something, then say, yeah, I see this. Defend it. Like, learn. Grow. It's accessible. Again, what's the risk of being wrong? NFL teams wrong all the time. You want to hear some numbers? Again, I've referred to this Daily Norseman article. It's the SB Nation's Vikings site. But they put out an article in 2022. So the data is a couple years old now, right? But it just goes and shows how often NFL teams don't get it right and how rare it is to land a great player in the NFL draft, how rare it is. So 17% of players will never play a down for the team that drafted them. 17%. Only 20% of picks will become good or better players. And good is a nebulous term. Like, the example this article uses is Pat Elflein could be considered good because he started a lot of games for the Vikings. That could be considered a good player. Christian Ponder could be considered a good player because they were multi-year starters. So even that 20% is probably high of what you would consider good or better. Mm-hmm. The most likely outcome for a player drafted in the first through third rounds is that they sign their second contract with a different team than the team that drafted them. Only 30% of round one players sign a second contract with the team that drafted them. So even the most valuable, the most early picks in the draft are not home runs. So again, what's the risk? What's the risk? So if you're thinking about it, just do it. Just do it. You know, I didn't think I would spend the first 15 minutes talking about this, but this is kind of where we are. And I'm okay with it. But again, I'm really excited about the scouting series that's coming up. And so again, if this is something that you're really interested in, and it's not just a hobby, if it is just a hobby, cool, man. Thanks for listening. Really do appreciate it. But if it's something you're thinking about, do it. Do it. I've had a blast. I haven't always been good at it. I'm still not great at it all the time. Historically, you can't be good at the NFL draft. You can't be good at making draft picks. GMs, scouts aren't good at it. You're picking, 7 to 10 players out of a 300-player class? What are the odds that you're going to hit on the majority of those picks? It's not great. So there's no risk. Just do it. just do it. Listen, man, that's all I've really got on this episode. I know it was only 15 minutes, but that's where I want to set the ground floor for what my expectation for this podcast is, what the expectation for my Substack has been. Is that I want this to be a podcast for all to understand that they can do this. The Dathlon Draft podcast is for you. I mentioned I would throw out some names of some players that I've already watched from the 2025 draft class. So again, this is going to be a short podcast episode. Before we jump into that scouting series on Friday. Again, so excited. It's turning out so well. But I will throw out some names. And I might even give you a hot take. So one name that I've really liked already. He has transferred to Arkansas this year, but he did play for San Jose State, offensive tackle Fernando Carmona Jr. Dude is big.
Yeah.
High school tight end, recruited as a tight end, but he is playing left tackle now. Played left tackle for San Jose State, is played on our lads as the starting left tackle for Arkansas this year as well. We'll see. I think he's kind of built like a guard. He's a pretty dense dude, but his pass set is so smooth. His lower half is so smooth. I think he's got really strong hands, great grip strength. When he latches on a defender, that defender typically does not break away. Again, I think he can get beat with speed a little bit on the outside from time to time, but he's a player that I've really enjoyed watching. I've watched two or three games of him now. And again, it's hard to tell because again, he played one Power Five team last year in Oregon State. And I don't think Oregon State has an NFL pass rusher on their defense. So you have to be aware of that, but he is playing the SEC this year. So we will see how Fernando Carmona Jr. does at Arkansas, because I'm pretty impressed by his San Jose State tape. Another player that I've really enjoyed is Wisconsin safety Hunter Wohlers. Dude is a heat-seeking missile. A lot of his reps are coming downhill. I would like to see some more range of him, you know, roboting out, him opening his hips and running, showing some range on the back end. He does have a lot of really solid eyes in short zone drops where he's, you know, sitting middle of the field or he's sitting flat. But again, I want to see some of those deeper turn and run type reps that aren't really on his tape, but he's a firm tackler. He can get sideline to sideline, explodes downhill, triggers downhill really well. And again, it's rare to see him miss a tackle. So Wisconsin safety Hunter Wohlers is another player that I've liked. I'm pretty bullish on Kansas running back Devin Neal as well. I thought he could have been a day two pick if he came out this year. He went back to Kansas. His offensive coordinator left for Penn State, so we'll see, you know. Head coach is still Lance Leipold, still there, so shouldn't be too much of an overhaul offensively. So I expect another productive season out of him. He's elusive. He's explosive, catches the ball well. It's a pretty good offensive tackle class. Josh Connerly out of Oregon, another really smooth athlete, has some refining to do with his hands, but would be shocked if he's not picked top 32 come next April. And again, my exposure in this class has not been great. You know, the luxury of making a draft guide and watching 175 prospects, plus to do a draft guide in previous years, is you'll watch players in depth who will be players who will turn around and say, actually, I'm going to go back to school. So guess what? I typically start the max draft cycle with 15 or 20 guys I've already watched that I can talk about. Not so much this year, as I, you know, my daughter was born in November, and covering the Browns, that's the priority, because that's what makes my family money, right? So that was my priority. And so I don't have that this year. I don't have those 15 to 20 players to bank on. But in my limited exposure to this class already, as I continue to pick it up, so that by the time the scouting series is over, I have a position group to talk about. I have players to talk about. But my favorite player that I've watched so far is LSU right tackle Emory Jones. Dude is a baller. If you want me to leave you with one hot take, Will Campbell is typically mock drafted as a top three pick, the first offensive tackle off the board. My early hot take from the 2025 NFL draft is that I'm not sure Will Campbell is the best offensive tackle on his own team. I'm extremely bullish on Emory Jones Jr., right tackle out of LSU. how LSU didn't do more with two top, you know, two first round wide receivers, a Heisman winning quarterback, and two future first round offensive tackles is beyond me. But Emory Jones, a lot of people are going to try to kick him inside to guard, I think, but I think he's athletic enough. I think he's long enough to stick at tackle. He reminds me of Tyler Smith coming out of Tulsa, which Tyler Smith did kick inside. So I'm over here advocating not to kick Emory Jones inside and mocking him to a guy who's kicked inside and became one of the best guards in the NFL, right? But I think he can stick at tackle. I think he explodes out of his stance. I like his set. His feet are fast, light. Foot speed's phenomenal. His hands are strong. He delivers a strong punch, excellent grip strength. But what reminds me most about Tyler Smith of him, and what I like most about his game, is the core strength that he plays with and the flexibility that he plays with. If you watched Tulsa tape when Tyler Smith came out 2 years ago, that's what stood out the most for him, was the flexibility and the core strength, where he could contort and anchor in out of some really funky positions, where like a defensive edge would get into his chest, right? Like full extension into his chest, and he could bend over backward and still anchor in. Like, that's tremendous flexibility, tremendous core strength, that leads to a really strong anchor. And that's what Tyler Smith had. And that's what I really see. What I really see with Emory Jones. I think watching that Alabama game and watching what he did to Dallas Turner versus what Dallas Turner did to Will Campbell in that game is a big reason for my hot take that Emory Jones is the better of the two LSU offensive tackles right now. Emory Jones can handle speed along the outside shoulder well, which is something I don't think Campbell handles really well right now. But again, it's that core strength, it's that flexibility. And I don't think he's overly all that like refined yet, which means his ceiling is way high. His ceiling is way high. So Emory Jones Jr., early watch so far, probably my favorite player I've watched of this 2025 class so far. That's my early draft takes. Again, I will have more once, obviously, I've watched more players. Again, this 2 or 3 week process of doing these scouting series will give me time to build up a bank of knowledge to talk about. I'm not going to bullshit. I'm not going to try to talk about players I've never watched. We're going to start from ground zero together. So let's do that. Again, you can find me at FateCoreyKinnon on Twitter. If you have X, whatever you want to call it, if you have questions, just the way that I've done to people in the past who have been willing to lend me a hand, who have been willing to answer my questions, please don't hesitate to do that. Ask me a question in DMs, and I'll do my best to give you an answer. I'm just excited to be back in this space, in this podcast, and I hope to have you along for the ride the entire time. But again, Friday, let's talk quarterbacks, what to watch for when watching quarterbacks. Really excited about that guest, really excited about that episode, how it turned out. So until next time, again, the Daft on Draft podcast is for you.